Bibles, your tablets, your phones in hand now, please. And turn with me to the passage of God's Word that we read, the last book of the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Malachi. And it is, we're continuing this series of studies, which we will end next Lord's Day, seeking to consider what the Scripture teaches as to who Jesus is. It's the most important thing in all of life, that we can ever consider who Jesus is and how we relate to Jesus as he's presented to us in his Word. And our text for this morning is found in Malachi chapter 4 and in verse 2. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. And you read there, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Now, the past week, people have been complaining that it's been too hot and it's been too humid. One thing that I would say to those who complain is, remember that January and February are coming, and they'll be here sooner rather than later. And I've got to be honest, I've enjoyed the heat of the past week, but I would say that because I'm from Scotland. And it is that Scotland is the place of horizontal rain. It's a place where it is that you can have four seasons in one day, whatever the season itself may be. And it is that I can remember summers when I was a child where all it did was rain, and it is that the summer was damp and cold. And I can remember going for weeks without seeing the sun. Every day it was dull, dark, and damp. And it is, as a well-noted phenomenon, that there is a greater incidence of what's called SAD, seasonal affective disorder, in the west coast of Scotland, because it is that there are people there, and they can go for at least 4 or 5 weeks, and all they see is grey sky above them, and never see the sun. And it is that that doesn't help if you're prone to depression of one sort or another. And I'm not exaggerating what I'm saying today. That's just part and parcel of the climate of that part of the world. But one of the things that I like about Canada, and I've always liked, even over the past 27 years, that it is that you know that you're going to come to that certain point in the year when you're guaranteed warm and sunny weather, when you would expect it, but also that even when it is that it's minus 25 in the winter, that often it is that the skies will be blue and the sun will be in the sky. And even though it's cold, it is that you experience the light and even that little warmth from the sun upon your physical being, and you're thankful for it. And I suppose what it is that I'm trying to say to us today is this, that the sun in the heavens, that it's something that matters, that it's something that's absolutely vital in terms of how we live life, it's something that's absolutely vital in terms of how it is that this world operates and how it is that we go through this life. I Googled and put in the phrase, the importance of the sun. And it was quite interesting to see the number of papers from different aspects that taught the importance of the sun for our good, but also in terms even for our solar system's good. It is that the sun provides heat to the earth. It heats the earth, making the right temperature that we're able to live upon this earth. It is that it provides light. We're thankful, even as the psalmist in the psalms that we sang this morning, knowing that it is that even though we have to live through the darkness when it is that the sun has gone down, yet it is that each one of us is thankful when we see those first rays of light at the beginning of the day, breaking and dispelling the darkness. It is that the sun is responsible for the water cycle and climate, the hydrological cycle, as it's scientifically called. And it is that thanks to solar heat, water evaporates to form clouds, and then it is that the clouds, at the appropriate point, they drop rain. And the functioning of this cycle, the hydrological cycle, is something that is absolutely fundamental in terms of how this earth functions. And it is that the sun is the most important source of energy in the planet, and it is that the sun's gravity, because of its size, helps keep the planet in the solar system in a stable orbit around the sun. And without the sun and its gravity, the planets in the solar system, they wouldn't rotate, and it is that basically they would just describe a straight line rather than orbiting around the sun and even orbiting in their own axis. So in many ways, the sun the Lord has created and placed in the heavens, it's something that's absolutely vital for life to exist and indeed to progress in every age in this world. And that's why it is that in terms of spiritual life and our experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to remember what it is that Malachi tells us here, but also rejoice in what it is that Malachi speaks of here as to who Jesus is. Look at what he says. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. It is that there can be very dark days in the spiritual experience of God's people. And even for some of us here or online, we find ourselves in the midst of such darkness, either through the loss of loved ones or perhaps because of a particular sin that seems to have control of us and that we have fallen a prey to. But it is, and it is often that in these situations, that the light of a new day seems impossibly remote. It seems that the darkness and the dismalness that goes along with it, that it seems to be hanging around, and we wonder if it will ever lift. And sorrows close in, and it is that these sorrows become heavy in our heart and mind and bid to blot out any hope we have for days, better days, and days when light would appear. You may have asked yourself just recently, will there be light at the end of this tunnel? Will there ever be a fresh dawning of God's light and favor and joy? And that's why it is that this verse that the prophet Malachi gives to us, it's important because it was important for God's people. It is that God, through the prophet, is speaking to at a time when it's very much a dark time in the history of the people that he writes to. It is that the Old Testament church had become corrupt, it had become backslidden. It was like many modern churches that we find in our midst today. And it is that those who truly feared the Lord, even as we read here in verse 2, but for those who fear my name, it is that they were just a remnant. They were hoping against hope for a better day, a day of revival, and a new day of blessing at the Lord's right hand. If you go back to chapter 3 and verse 16, you read this. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. And it is that the people at that time would readily have identified with the martyrs that we read of in the book of Revelation, who are found under the altar, and it is that they're crying out to the Lord, how long, O Lord, holy and true? And perhaps that's the way for some of us here today. That in the midst of the darkness is in your experience, for whatever reason, you're like them, and you're crying out and saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? How long, O Lord, till it is that the darkness lifts and it is that the light begins to shine in my life? And the answer in God's word is in terms of one name, and that name is Jesus. You see, for us today, we need to thank God that Jesus is our light at the end of the tunnel, that Jesus is our dawn, that Jesus is our Son of healing and righteousness, and that Jesus is our Savior. And as Malachi speaks of the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings, it is that I think that Malachi is telling us certain things that he wants to tell us and encourage us, and ultimately is God himself, who in the midst of the darkness speaks through his prophet and says, remember this. So what's the first thing that God would have us remember? Well, it's this, that Jesus is the Son. He's the S-O-N and he's the S-U-N. Because it is that he brings the light of the gospel in word and deed. And the prophet is saying here that there's a time coming when the Son of Righteousness shall arise. Now, what does the Son do in our solar system and in terms even of our earthly life every morning? Well, I think it does at least two things. It is that the Son dispels the darkness of the preceding night. That it is that the night that for some of us perhaps it seems so long, and we were there in that place of a depression, wondering if it is that light would come. We're thankful that every morning that the sun begins to rise, and it is that the darkness is dispelled. You see, Malachi prophesies in the days of Nehemiah, and it is that he's prophesying to a corrupt church, to corrupt pastors and elders. He's prophesying to corrupted members, and he predicts the future destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the old order. So the downside, what it is that is coming in accordance with the truth of God, it's something that's dark indeed. And yet in the midst of that, he thought of what's coming and the darkness that it will bring, Here it is that you have this word of hope from the Lord himself, that the sun will rise, that the darkness that is coming, that it will dispel. And the light is coming because it is that the Son of Righteousness, he himself also rises. And then the second thing I think is this, that the sun, as it rises, it warms the land. The sun, as it rises, causes the crops to grow. The sun, as it rises and its warmth spreads throughout our nation, it spurs activity in living organisms. And here's the upside from the darkness. The Son of Righteousness, as he rises, and as we know of his warmth spreading, it heralds the coming of a new age. It heralds the good news, and it reveals a Savior to us who can be likened to the sun in the sky. And what it is that the sun in the sky does for us physically, it is that the Lord's eternal Son, Jesus, it is that he does the selfsame things as the light of his countenance and of his gospel shines into the hearts and the minds of each one of us here. And you see, Malachi is saying to his friends that a Savior is to arise one day. That it is that he's risen from the grave, but it is that there's a day coming when it is that he shall appear in the clouds in glory, and it is that we're told that every eye shall see him and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that to the glory of the Father. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you ready for that day? If it is that Christ would come this week, are you ready and to be thankful for the fact that the light of his countenance is already shining in your heart and mind, dispelling the darkness that sin brings into your life? I was thinking of an example to encourage us. And as some of you know, I served my apprenticeship. I left school at 16. And I served my apprenticeship as a mechanical engineer. And I served my apprenticeship in a company in the UK called, well, in Scotland, called Albion Motors. And Albion Motors built trucks and buses. And for a period of time, I worked in an assembly line, building trucks and buses. And one of the most important things that would go out on the truck or the bus when it came to the assembly line was the logo, the Albion logo. And it would be placed in the front of the truck or the bus. And it is that the logo had the sun on the front and the rays of the sun spreading out from it. And underneath it had the words, "Sure as the sunrise." And what it was that Albion Motors were saying, their trucks, their buses, in terms of the reliability, in terms of what it is that they could do, that they were as sure as the fact of the sun rising every morning. That they would never let you down, just as the sun rising in the morning never lets you down. Now, Albion Motors no longer exists. The UK basically is service jobs that are found, heavy industry and so on, that's long gone. But I could take you to Africa today, I could take you to India, I could take you to many places, and it is, I guarantee you, that you would find diesel-engined trucks, even maybe ones that I had built, and it is that they're still operating, and it is that the log was still there, sure as the sunrise. Wow. What about Christ? Sure as the sunrise. His light illuminating your heart and your mind. One of the older writers I was reading put it like this: Christ is the sun of the spiritual world and the one fountain of light and life to all that believe in him. Let me ask you, do you know of his light shining in your heart and mind today? I think you've got to agree with me. Even this past week, even on Friday, was it in Vaughan somewhere that there was a family were murdered? It is that the shootings in Toronto seem to be increasing. It is that they're telling us that they're now banning cell phones in schools. Why? Because it is that there's a young generation, and what it is that they're watching and seeing and listening to in their phones, it's having an effect on their mental equilibrium and well-being. And my friends, you and I know There's darkness out there. Terrible darkness. It is that the sun may be splitting the heavens this coming week, but spiritually, there is darkness out there and people are moving about groping in the dark. You ever perhaps sometimes woken up through the night and you've decided you don't want to put the light on. You maybe got to go to the washroom. And it is that you get up and your memory, even though it's dark, you're able to sort of grope your way to the washroom. But what you don't realize is that maybe your spouse has moved some piece of furniture in that room. You don't see it. The next thing, bang, down you go. You didn't see it. Why? Because of the darkness. Are you somebody today? And it is that you've been groping in the darkness in your life. And it is that you've got along for so many years. But in the past week or so, somebody's moved something in your life. You didn't see it because of the darkness. And bang! You're here today. Your heart and your mind are hurting. And it is that your soul is in deep distress. But you see, the truth is, and what Malachi is saying to us is this, that the sun rises. And as the sun rises, it is that light comes. Light dies with the departing day as life departs with death. But the sun as it rises evokes and declares to us the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The sun rises and warms the earth. But it is as the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings, he's able to bring a warmth to hearts that are maybe cold and hard as stone today. And it is that he's able to turn them with his life-giving rays into hearts of flesh. Listen to what the prophet Ezekiel writes in Ezekiel 36. And God says through his prophet, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, a heart that will beat in unison with the heart of Jesus Christ, a heart perhaps that has been prone to arrhythmia of one sort or another, spiritually speaking, and yet a heart that is changed and shocked, as it were, into beating in unison with the steady heartbeat of Jesus. How's your heart today? Do you heart trouble? Do you? Are you in medication for heart trouble today? That's important that you find out. You go to the doctor and the doctor takes a stethoscope and he listens to your heart. You say to him, how is it? And he'll tell you how it is. And you're thankful when it is that he tells you your heart's okay. But when it is that your heart isn't functioning, and I've seen it in some folk, they can hardly walk the length of themselves. They're exhausted. Because the heart isn't functioning. Spiritually speaking, you can't take a step to please God and to glorify God unless it is that God has performed his spiritual transplant surgery in your soul. And unless it is that God has taken out that heart that's as hard as stone. Have we not often perhaps said it about individuals that we know? Heart is so hard, so hard-hearted. It's only Christ that can change a heart like that. And it is that as the sun rises and the light of the gospel dispels the darkness each morning, it is that as Christ rises and his light shines in our hearts and mind, it causes the light to dawn in our dull minds. See, the truth is, you may have an IQ that's off the charts. I was reading about someone recently, a female, and she was sort of reading Latin at 2 years of age, and it was unbelievable what this person was able to do. And their IQ, they were higher than Einstein and people like that. Absolutely unbelievable. And I believe that when we're given new bodies in heaven, that our minds, Einstein and these people, will be as nothing. We will be way up in terms of what God does for us and our understanding of reality as it will be in the new heavens and the new earth. But we need to remember that even in the most mundane matters of life, we need light each day. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 119. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. You see, there are guys, say, at the various astronomical departments and universities. One PhD, two PhDs, three PhDs. They're able to tell you so much about the universe. They're able to tell you through the James Webb Telescope so much about distant galaxies and stars. They're able to tell you about life and reality and so many things. Yet, they don't believe there's a God. They're blind. The creation screams out, there is a God. The creation screams out, there is a creator. The uniformity that you find even in our solar system, even the rising and the setting of the sun, day after day, month after month, year after year, it's screaming out at you, there is a God. There is a creator. And yet with their PhDs, with their brilliant intellects, they say, do you know what God says in his word? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Paul says in Romans 1, one of my favorite verses and most applicable for our age today is, that professing themselves to be wise, what did they become? They became fools. We're seeing it increasingly in our midst today. Not able to define what a man or a woman is. That's just sheer madness. It's interesting that when Paul writes, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The word that translated fools in our English version is the word moros. And you may be even hearing it already. It's the word that we get our English word moron from. Paul's literally saying, professing themselves to be wise, they became morons. And that's the truth of it. You today may have the least of education in terms of what the world considers to be something that's needful to be an educated person. But if it is that you have Christ today, God's word says to you, you have been enriched. In all your speaking and in all your thinking, the word enriched that Paul uses is the word plousios, and we get our English word plutocrat from it. And Paul is saying to us, in Christ, you are a spiritual plutocrat. In all your speaking and all your thinking, and in Christ, as he writes elsewhere, he tells us that in Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ, are found in Christ. And do you know what else he says? He says that if you are in Christ, you have the mind of Christ. Not the mind of a moron, but it is that you have the mind of Christ. Do you have that mind today? Do you have his mind? And it is that in Christ the day has dawned. But the second thing we can say is, that he's the son of righteousness. Our time is going. Let me just quickly consider this. There are even those who would reject the gospel with its message of the incarnate divine son, a blood atonement, bodily resurrection, judgment to come. But it is that they'll say nice things about Jesus and in his ability as a teacher. They'll say, he's a wonderful teacher. No doubt about it. He was a wise man. And some will routinely attribute to Jesus the light that they think they have. But Jesus, I think, is too often treated like Christmas lights. You say, what do you mean? Well, I remember when I first came here, the first December, One of the things that struck me, struck us all as a family, was that the houses, many of them had Christmas lights. Now this was new to me coming from dark, dismal Scotland. You just didn't do that sort of thing, right? But here I would drive round my street and everywhere there's these lights. And I got to confess, I enjoy seeing them. They lifted me up in a sense. They looked so pretty against the darkness. And then when it was that the snow came and the lights were on, wow, they really stood out and they shone. They were bright, they were dazzling, they were pretty, they made us feel good. But I think that often today, Jesus is too often treated like Christmas lights. When it is, and when it's expedient for people, he's frequently appreciated loudly, but it's by those who disregard what he's actually done in terms of providing righteousness for men and women and boys and girls. And that underscores why the qualification of righteousness is so essential. The Christ who is our Son, the Christ whose light dispels the darkness of sin in our life, is also the one who is our righteousness. He is the one who is inseparable from his person and his work as revealed in the scriptures. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. He says, to you as a believer, Jesus has made wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Why? Because Jesus is righteousness in himself. Listen to Jeremiah 33 and 15. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. You see, Jesus is righteousness revealed to the world. Listen to Zechariah in his prophecy and what he says with regard to Jesus. He says this, a new child will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. And then listen to this, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us on high. The sunrise shall visit us from on high. That's what the incarnation, that's what the cattle trough at Bethlehem is declaring. The sunrise, and the sun shining in the darkness of this fallen world. And then listen to what else he says. This is, I know you're maybe sitting there going, oh, hurry up, get to the end. Oh, this is so exciting. I wish you had the excitement I've got at the moment as I'm reading this. Zechariah says, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. That's what he gives. The Son of Righteousness who rises with healing in his wings. Paul assures the church in Corinth as he assures us today, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. All in Christ. All mediated, as it were, through the life-giving rays of the gospel, dispelling and destroying the darkness of sin. Because of who he is, Jesus, and only Jesus, saves you from your sins. Proverbs 4 and 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The time's gone. I've got more I could say. I'm going to leave it there. But how is it with you today? I've got to admit, the rain last night, oh dear, not, it's like home, just, we'd say at home, chucking it down. The rain was just hammering down. I'm hoping the sun appears this week. I'm hoping the sun appears this coming Saturday when we're on a congregational picnic. Pray for that. Because as you've read and sung in the Psalms, God is in control of the weather. believe that. God is in control of the weather. And it is that he hears and answers the prayers of his people. Just the other week, this comes to mind, and with this I'll be quiet. I was watching the movie. I hadn't watched it before, but the movie Dunkirk. And it is that any of you who know Second World War history know that the forces, the Allied forces, were defeated by the Germans in 1941. And it is that 300,000 soldiers were stranded on the coast of France. 300,000. If they couldn't get back to the UK, that was it. Hitler would have gone over to the UK and then no doubt started to come to North America. The thing that needed to be done was to get 300,000 soldiers back from the coast of France and to the coast of England. How would you do it? There were little boats all coming over. Little boats going back and forth. And it is that the German gun emplacements and the Stuka dive bombers, they were able to pick off the soldiers that were there waiting to be rescued. It must have been terrifying. 17, 18 years of age, and you're seeing this bomb at this plane firing bullets and ripping you apart. But you know what happened at one point? And they were saying, and they said it was a miracle, the miracle of Dunkirk. And there's no doubt about it, it was. All of a sudden, the mist appeared. And it is because of that mist seemingly appearing out of nowhere, they were able to rescue and get the 300,000 men back to the UK. Because if they didn't, the world would be different today. It really would. God is in control of the weather. And as he's in control of the weather, he's in control of your life. If there's anybody here today, and at the moment you're seeing no light at the end of the tunnel, there's just darkness and gloom round about you, oh, look to Jesus. Why? Because he is the Son of Righteousness who rises with healing in his wings. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Lord, it is that we thank you for your goodness and your kindness, and we thank you that in the midst of darkness, which is so often the experience we go through in this life for different reasons, it is that we can have the light of Christ shining in us and through us and before us. And it is that by his Spirit he would say to us, this is the way, walk ye in it. We pray especially for any amongst us today, and it is that they find themselves at a moment in their life when there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel, when it is that everything seems dark and dismal and despairing, perhaps in their mind and their heart and their family circumstances, for whatever reason. We pray that today that they might cry out to you and ask that the life-giving rays that are able to be found in Jesus and Jesus alone, that these rays might shine upon them and dispel the darkness of heart and mind. Again, it is that we pray for the Bateman family, for Chris and Reg, and we pray that the darkness of death that envelops them at this time, that even in that reality, that they might also know of the light of Christ, dispelling that darkness in the days and weeks that lie ahead. So Lord, go with us now. Be with us through the remainder of this year day. And forgive our sins, we ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.